escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92 on the Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you on your talk show, 404-726-0929, asking you a number of questions. And again, everything is open topic here. If you want to jump in, if you've got a question about your college football team, and it could be, I'm not going to have a whole lot to say about UNLV or because I'm not in the Mountain West Conference anymore. So, I mean, I know they were good last year. Are they going to be any good this year? Beats me. They should be okay, I guess. So don't ask me that too much. Don't go too deep into it. You got a question about, UTEP or, Kent State. I'm like, okay, probably can't help you much. But I can help you on the Power 5 and the Power 4 plus 1, I guess, right? Because do you know the Pac-12 is back this year? Sort of, kind of. You know, I mean, I think it has 8 teams. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The college football season starts 20 days from now. So we could talk college football, any team in America. If you want to talk college football, still love to have an Alabama fan. Talked a little bit about it yesterday. Kalen DeBoer went 9-4 was 9-4 last year. 9-4. And so if he goes 9-4 again, are you firing him? Because if you are, look, Alabama's got a really good team. They may have the best offensive line in the nation. Quarterback, I don't know. That's why I was talking to Joe about quarterback at Ohio State. You know, there are a lot of big-time teams where there's question marks at quarterback. And so I'm not saying that they won't have guys come in and be stars right away. You know, Julian Sain at Ohio State, or I don't know who's going to start at Alabama, Ty Simpson or Austin Mack. They've also got a 5-star, freshman, so I don't know who's starting there. But there are a lot of teams that seem to have questions at quarterback. But aside from that, Alabama's got a good team. They're loaded with talent. Obviously, they got a superstar wide receiver and maybe the best offensive line in the nation, a lot of great defensive players. And there's no reason Kalen DeBoer shouldn't be a 10-plus win team and in the playoffs. But if he does go 9-4 again this year, is he out? And if he's out, do you run the risk of getting on the wheel of coaches? Because the wheel of coaches is what kills a program. That's why I'm talking about you don't want to be on the wheel of coaches. Whenever you get on the wheel of coaches, your program goes to hell. And it happened to Alabama at one point with every coach named Mike. Mike DeBose, Mike Shula, Mike Price. Ooh, roll tide, destiny, roll tide. Yeah, you get on the wheel of coaches and your program can go soft in a hurry. And I don't care who you are. It's happened to everybody. There isn't a school out there that didn't have a soft patch where they went through really hard times because they got on the wheel of coaches. And there's some schools that are looking at, you know, the potential of being on wheel of coaches if they're not careful. Oklahoma, for one. They were already on the wheel of coaches back in the 90s. Did anybody remember John Blake? You went from all those great teams to Chuck Fairbanks and Barry Switzer, and suddenly you've got John Blake as your head coach, and Oklahoma goes 3-8. And gets in some of those 8 losses, 66-12, and I mean, just got destroyed. And so it took them a long time to get back. And they finally get back, and with quarterbacks like Josh Heupel. So and Jason White and those guys, and they finally kind of climbed their way back in, and then they went through the Baker Mayfield years, and they were back in the good graces until Baker decided to shout out the Georgia Bulldogs running down the sidelines of the Rose Bowl. It's over, it's over, it's over, you know, waving his arm. And I'm like, yeah, okay, how's that second half feel? Yeah, I didn't think so. So if you want to talk about your team, I'm more than welcome to chat it up about your prospects here. If you're an NFL fan, I'm more than willing to talk about your team as well. Now, having said that, if you want to jump in on the Braves and Atlanta United, you can. It has been an utter disaster. It has been. There's just no other way to describe what's happened to the Braves and Atlanta United. Atlanta United lost again last night. They've had 26 matches across all competitions. 26. They've won four. Four of the 26. Yeah, it's just... And they won that opening game, 3-2 or something like that. And Latte Lath had two goals, and Miggy's back, and the place is 70,000 fans that were all excited about the return of Atlanta United, and it just went into the crapper. And the Braves, too. This has been the least enjoyable, the most frustrating, and my least favorite Braves season ever. And I've only been a Braves fan for 52 years, so I don't have, I wasn't really a Braves fan in 69 when they won the West. But, you know, from 1975-ish to now, 51 years, I guess, maybe 51 seasons. We had bad teams. But even the bad teams that the Braves had, a couple of years come to mind, 77 and 88, if you were around for either of those, you know those years. And Darryl Chaney, who was a shortstop on the team in 77. Of course, Darryl had won rings with the Reds. But, you know, he even said, you know, that was a Braves team that had like three or four good players. Jeff Burrows was really a good player. He was a great player. And Gary Matthews was good. And Willie Montanez was good. And Phil Niekro was Phil Niekro. But they had a lot of holes and some young players, you know, one of whom we had high hopes for a guy named Brian Asselstein. And back in those days in Fulton County, they had a chain link fence in center field. And Brian Asselstein, who was going to be our next star outfielder, goes up the chain link fence to try to take away a home run in center field. This actually happened. You can go look it up. So, he had cleats on back in those days. And so he's climbing. He puts his foot on the chain link fence to try to leap up over the fence to catch a home run, right? And this is a prize prospect. And his cleat gets caught in the chain link fence at Fulton County. And I don't know if he caught the ball or not. This is relevant. I think he missed it. He comes back over, and his cleat sticks in the chain link fence. And, yeah, that was pretty much the end of Brian Asselstein's career. Yep. He went down. The cleat stayed, and his leg stayed. And, that was the – but even in those bad teams, you know, in 88 with all the retreads, in 77 – it was kind of fun to watch. It was okay to root for them. I mean, the Dodgers were powerhouses, and they'd come in, and the Reds would come in, and the powerhouse teams, and they would wipe you out a little bit. But, man, if you got one against them, it was fun to root for them because they were underdogs, and, you know, it was fun to go to the ballpark, and you could get any seat you wanted. You could pay a dollar to park in 77. You could pay a dollar. It was a dollar to go sit in the left field bleachers, a dollar. It was a dollar to park. And so my brother and I would go there and we'd sit, well, relatively close. You didn't want to get too close to the teepee because the teepee smelled like pee-pee, okay? All right. And so you didn't get too close. But after like the second inning, you could just go up and then go upstairs to the upper level. Well, nobody was. All the concession stands are closed and 5,000 people there, maybe four. And you walk around and then you come down behind home plate. And after two innings, then you'd sit behind home plate and watch the game for a buck. And even if they weren't great, you had great seats and you got to see a lot of star players. This year, on the other hand, it starts with a team that everybody thinks is going to be great. Me too. I raised my hand for that. It's a team that we're going to get Strider back. We're going to get Acuna back. You know, here we are. We've got Profar, who is coming off this big year. And then all of a sudden, the season's about to start, and the manager says, I might retire at the end of the year. Oh, well, great. Thanks for putting that karma on us. And four games into the 0-7 start, or three games into the 0-7 start in San Diego, PEDFAR happens, and then he turns into, when he gets back to finally play him, we find out that he's like Dollar Store Jehe. We spent $43 million for Dollar Store Jehe. Okay, great. And all the struggles of all the other players, and then injury after injury after injury after injury, and it all melts down into this. And it's like, whew. Yeah. You know, this is just, it's such a hard watch. It's hard to watch good players struggle. It's not so hard to watch bad players struggle because, you know, they suck. You know, okay, you know, he's hitting 210. That's what we expect him to do, you know? So when the bad player or the average player, I'm sorry, if you're a major league player, you can play ball, okay? If you make the majors, you can flat play ball. But if you're just kind of a low-level major league player, you know, and you're struggling, then you root for them to do something good. So when they do, dude, well done, you know? I mean, when they play over their station, so to speak, of what you expect. But everybody on this, name a player on this Braves team who exceeded the back of their baseball card this year. I can name one, because he didn't have a back of the baseball card to begin with. Drake Baldwin. That's it. He's the only guy. Because he didn't have a back of the baseball card. But none of the others exceeded the back of the baseball card. That's underperformance by every single player on the team. And really, it's kind of true of Atlanta United. I mean, you look at Miggy and wonder if he's washed. And then he goes down. I think he went down to, like, South America, you know, went down and played some games in South America for, you know, when he went back home and was, like, lighting it up. And you're like, wait, how come you're doing – where was that here? Is that a coaching thing? Wow. So what I put on the table for you to talk about, Falcons are fighting in camp. Multiple fights have broken out. Is that a good thing? In talking about Micah Parsons or somebody of that nature – and the desire by Falcons fans to get somebody of that nature on this team, do you think that the Falcons are really only one player away? I mean, maybe you do, and that'd be a very good thing if they're only one player away from winning it. If not, how close are they to winning a Super Bowl? With Micah Parsons himself, if you're one player away, you do whatever it takes to get Micah Parsons, okay? You're one player away, and we're winning a Super Bowl. We're 20 days to college football. Are you excited for the season, or are you like my buddy Ed, who has soured on college football so bad that you don't want to talk about college football? You don't care, which is fine. By the way, there are things I don't care about. I'm not watching certain sports. I don't want to throw sports under the bus here. I just don't watch them because I don't care that much. So there's no reason for me to dog them on the air. But you know, you pick and choose. Now, I happen to be. Every sports talk show host, everybody in sports media has a sport that they like above and beyond every other sport, right? Okay. So, like the bunch that I worked with back in the day at CNN, you know, Dan Patrick was a baseball guy. That was his number one sport. And Nick Charles was a boxing guy. And Fred Hickman was an NBA guy. And, you know, everybody had a thing that was their number one sport, right? And I was the reason I hosted the college football show at multiple networks. I hosted the college football show at CNN for a number of years, at Sports Channel in New York. I hosted the college football shows all over the country because that's my sport. That's my number one sport. So I'm a little biased in this. What's going on in college athletics right now doesn't bother me that much because it's just, to me, transitory. We are moving into a new phase where we're going to go to athletes being represented. It's going to be collective bargaining. There's going to be super conference. You just have to trust me that all this is happening. It's just, you know, this house settlement I'm not in favor of because I think it just gets in the way of the future. It's not awful. It's not bad. It's not good. I don't think it really does much. I think getting Congress involved is not necessarily a good thing. So to me anyway. And it'll all be resolved by the merger of the Big Ten and the SEC anyway at some point, and they're inviting an additional 20 to 30 teams to form this super conference and setting their own rules. And when they do that, then they can renegotiate the television deals, they can do the whole scheduling, the playoff, you know, things like roster limits and portal openings and recruiting dates, and they can settle all the rules. So they get all in a room. We stick everybody, every president, every AD, every head coach of the sports, you know, 4,000 people, and stick them in a room, and we all vote, and we come up with all the bylaws of the new Super Conference. And so that'll happen in the not-too-distant future. Right? So we're just in a transitory period. And right now the transitory period leaves a lot of people upset. And I sort of understand that. You know, hard to get a line on it when everybody's transferring all the time. You know, the transfer portal window is still open. It's open for till Tuesday. And then it closes Tuesday. But it's still open. You can still transfer right now, today. And there may be a whole bunch of players. I don't know. Tomorrow, could we have a bunch of transfers? Could. Because it's going to be the last day they can transfer. So will we see guys who've already started camp go, ah, you know what? I'm not playing here this year. I'm going to transfer. Because virtually everybody started camp, right? So there may be some players who realize when they get into camp going, oh, wait, I'm not starting. I'm not playing here. I want to play. I'm out. And suddenly they hit the portal tomorrow. What do you have to say about all this? Let's talk. Let's have our chat. You and I, we'll just talk sports right here with John Furke on Sports Radio 92.10 The Game.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 90 Time the Game on this Sunday, first day of the first Falcons game week of the year. Falcons play this week. Welcome to it. Well, sort of Falcons play this week. It's like the sort of Braves are going to be playing that Speedway Classic pickup game today. Sort of Falcons play this week against the sort of Lions at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the first preseason game of the year. And again, for my money, I don't think Michael Penix, I'm not sure I'd put him in there. You want to put him in there to hand off a couple of times to Tyler Allgeier or somebody and throw a quick out and then have him trot off the field just because you want him to get out there and get a look? Fine. Okay. But Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins would not see the field. I would not put Kirk Cousins into the Tennessee combined joint practice. I wouldn't put him into a preseason game. I wouldn't put him into a regular season game. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure I would even put him on the he'd be my emergency third quarterback if it were me, because I think you'd see a lot of Easton Stick, or if they want to pick up another quarterback in, you know, that's cut from another team, another veteran to back him up if they're not happy with Easton. I don't know. Easton's played enough that maybe they're going to be happy with Easton Stick. And so he'd be my backup in the Tampa Bay game, not Kirk Cousins. I know Kirk Cousins lit up Tampa Bay. I got it. You know, I mean, and you got to win the game. So, I mean, they may think in those terms too, but you have to protect that asset if he's still on the team when you get to the Tampa Bay game. because unless you're saying to yourself, okay, we're just going to keep him for the year and pay him the $37.5 million and take all that money, $27.5 plus the $10 you paid him for the roster bonus. We're just going to take all that money, and it's our quarterback room money, and he's going to be our backup for the whole year. In that case, you can play him. But otherwise, I don't think you can put him out there because you got to put him in bubble wrap. He cannot be touched. He is a valuable commodity for you. You've got to go through this preseason to see if anybody gets injured or if anybody underperforms or anybody really wants a quarterback and panics and wants to give you a lot of money and a pretty good draft pick. Because remember, you don't have a number one pick next year. So if you can get somebody to panic and give you a third round pick with a conditional second, based on the number of starts, and if he starts that many games, you end up with a second round pick and you have 2 seconds, you could trade back into the first. That's how you get back into the first round next year, right? You have 2 seconds. 404-726-0929, and that comes through Kirk Cousins. Yeah, this is how we play the game. So let's talk a little college football. Let's talk a little NFL. And let's talk a little bit about the Braves or United if you want to jump into that. 404-726-0929. This is your talk show, not mine. So whatever happens to be front and center for you, you can jump into here. I did one other thing here this week. I was asked by somebody, Noel, and I wanted to ask you. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, with Ed, and we were talking about the NFL. And he says, who do you have winning the divisions? And he had his division winners, and he had a couple of outliers that I thought were interesting. He was like, Cincinnati is going to win the NFC North. I'm like, okay. Sure. Joe Burrow, I get it. All right. I thought that was a bit of an outlier. Is the AFC easy to pick the division winners and the NFC hard? That was my bigger question. Because I think there are four clear favorites in the four divisions in the AFC, but only one clear favorite in the NFC.
Yeah, it does feel like the NFC is more up for grabs in more divisions.
I mean, all right, let's just go through it. AFC East, who's the favorite? Who's going to win? Buffalo, right?
Yeah, AFC East, yeah.
I mean, arguably the best team in the NFL on paper. I think the North is, Cincinnati, sure, but I think Baltimore is a team to beat, clearly.
Agreed.
NFC South, Houston by a mile.
Yeah, Houston has the edge, yep.
Yeah, it's really not close.
Jaguars have not figured it out. Colts are stumbling. Titans are kind of rebuilding. Yep, Titans have the edge.
And in the West, it remains Kansas City, correct?
Correct, yeah.
I mean, Denver, is pretty decent, and I don't know about the Chargers. But Buffalo, Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City, those are your four favorites. I'm not saying they're going to win the division. I'm saying they are clear favorites to win the division. In the NFC, Philadelphia is a clear favorite to win the East.
Right.
Oh, right, okay. Atlanta might be the second biggest favorite.
Okay.
Because I think the NFC North and the NFC West are both four-team pick-ems.
Agreed. Yep.
You can make a case for anybody in the NFC North and anybody in the NFC West to win that division.
Yep.
So you're looking at Philadelphia being the favorite in the East, Atlanta being the favorite in the South. So this is what I'm talking about. Are we one player away? When you look at the NFC and say, okay, Philadelphia is the favorite, the clear favorite in the East, over Dallas, the Giants, and the Commanders, obviously Washington, second team in that division. The Falcons and Tampa, are the two teams in the South. And the Falcons have to overcome Tampa, and that's why that opening game is so, so important. But the North and the West are pick'em divisions. All four teams in each division. The North, if you told me the Lions won the North, I'd go, yeah, okay. Vikings win the North. Yeah, okay. Bears win the North. Wow, Ben Johnson did a number, and they got so many new players, and, guys like Grady and Drew helped them. Sure. Odunze came into his own. Caleb Williams exploded. All right. And, Green Bay. Yeah, sure. And when we're talking about that, we're talking about a division where 10 wins, 11 is a lock, but 10 wins probably wins the division because you end up with a division that goes 10-7, 10-7, 9-6, 8-8 kind of thing. 8-9. I mean, it's a field goal or a touchdown game here or there in that division. Same with the NFC West. Because as you stack them in the NFC West, you tell me who the favorite is in the NFC West. Because I honestly don't know. It might be Arizona.
It really is a coin flip. And to your point, it might be Arizona. When's the last time we said that?
Right. It might be Arizona. It might be the Niners. It might be the Rams. It might be Seattle. I mean, all four teams can win that division. Again, you're looking at 10-7, 9-8, 9-8, 8-9. And the difference between 10-7 and 8-9 is, do you win that one game by a touchdown or not? You know, it's the 21-17 game that you win or lose, and you're either first or last based on one game. So at least on paper, that's the way it looks. Now, I think it is interesting that the Carolina Panthers have announced they're going to play their starters in the preseason. I don't know how that, you know, is going to bode for them. Maybe it bodes well. Maybe it's a really good thing, and it helps them a lot. I think it's worth the risk. I don't blame them for wanting to do this. Franchise needs to be kickstarted, and so if they want to get a kind of a rolling jump on the year. What was the one thing about not playing starters? Everybody out there, I want to walk you back a few years into our own experience with avoiding playing starters and bubble wrapping starters in the preseason, because we had two experiences with this under Dan Quinn where we didn't play starters in the preseason and the team started slowly. And the most notable one of which was we didn't play anybody in the preseason. We had kind of high hopes. We go opening day to Minnesota. I don't know if anybody remembers this. Go to opening day at Minnesota to play the Vikings and Kirk Cousins, and we just get waxed on opening day. And Dan Quinn comes out and says, because Hugh and I are on the radio going, we said this to you. You had to get your starters out there to get them ready, and he wouldn't play the starters in the preseason, and they went to Minnesota and got blown off the field in the opening game. And Dan Quinn himself came out and said, we weren't prepared and ready for the game. Right, because you didn't play your starters in the preseason. So you weren't up to speed. And it's this balancing act of whether or not you want to risk the – it's risk-reward, right? And for the Falcons, though, the problem is the opening game is hyper, hyper critical. It's much more important than a game against Minnesota was that year, because the opening game happens to be a game you have to win if you're going to win the division. You're at home against a division foe, and not just any division foe, but Tampa. The team that is the most direct threat, they've won four times in a row, something like that, five times in a row, he won the division. So you've got to go after Tampa. You've got to win that game. It's critical for both teams. It's really critical for the Falcons because the game is here. And so we've got to have that opening day win against Tampa. It's going to be not only a table setter for the year, but it's, you know, last year they lost their opening game at home. Remember, they lost to Pittsburgh. They kind of sleptwalked through that game, got nothing going offensively. I don't think they lost, memory serves, and somebody can correct me out there without looking. I don't think Pittsburgh scored a touchdown in that game, and they still won it. I think Pittsburgh kicked six field goals. That. And so
yeah, Pittsburgh was scoreless touchdown wise. Yeah,
yeah. Falcons had a game at home where they held the opponent without a touchdown and still lost. Six field goals by Pittsburgh, but the Falcons lost that game 18-10. And as it turns out, obviously it wasn't a killer because you made up for it the next week by going and doing what they did in Philadelphia at the end of the game. But still, nonetheless, it was kind of a blah start. 10 points. You don't give up a touchdown, you still lose at home in a game that was really eminently winnable for you. And yet it didn't kill them because they managed to rebound from that. And again, you know, after nine games, they were in great shape until they went to the swamp in week 10. And, oh my God, everything went to hell. So they were in great shape going into week 10, and it just all went in the crapper because of the broke down liar. We don't have to recast that. But this year, the start of the season is important, not just because you have really big games at the beginning of the year, and on paper, the schedule is a little front-loaded. They do have an early bye, which I'm normally not in favor of the early bye. They have as early a bye as you can get. That's week 5. So you're going to play 4 games, you're going to get the bye. Normally, I hate that because it means, okay, now you got to play 13 games in a row. But this year, I'm not so opposed to it in concept because with a new quarterback, with a new defensive coordinator, with so many new players in certain, you know, critical spots, you know, another new safety, you know, new young edges, new quarterback, I'm sort of like, okay, I don't have a problem with the idea of playing 4 games, but you got to win the 2 division games, Tampa and Carolina. If you don't win the other two, I'm not really worried. If you get to week five in the bye and you're 2-2, if you beat in Tampa, Carolina, I'm like, okay, I'm good. I mean, I'd be good. All right, we're 2-0 in the division. We're 2-2 and 2-0 in the division. Fine, I'm good. I mean, do I want to be 3-1? Sure. I just don't want to be 1-3 and having lost to Tampa, because that you're going to week five going, okay, now we're in a pickle. We're 1-3. We've lost to Tampa already. And who knows if you're one or two games out of the lead already going, now you got to play 13 in a row. So that's why the important game, that opening game, is so important. And then you got to balance that against making sure the players are ready, especially when you're talking about a quarterback that's only played, you know, three NFL games. So this is everything that Raheem Moore has done. Job is on the line this year on top of everything else. You know, if the Falcons have an Achilles heel right now, it's the coaching staff that has to prove itself. I think they have three pretty good coordinators. I like Zach Robinson. I like Jeff Ulbrich. I like Marquise Williams. I think they have three really proven coordinators. Now we got to make sure that the clock management guy, if Raheem is just going to be clock management head coach, which, by the way, is fine by me, he's going to let Zach call the offense, let Ulbrich call the defense, let Marquise call the special teams, and Raheem is there to do all the other stuff. But when your job is clock management, game management, kind of the flow of the game, how you want to play it, you can't be bad at that. And he was bad at that. He's got, I mean, you can't be. If your job, because he botched clock, we know he botched clock management against Washington, and then he botched it again against Carolina the next week in the final game. You can't do that. You got to be in that. This is where there are going to be a lot of eyes on Raheem and how he manages and how he uses his timeouts, how he manages the flow of the game. That's his job. And if he can't do that, then he needs to go back to being a coordinator. If he can't handle that, he needs to go back to being a coordinator. If he needs help with that, then put a headset on him and have him have somebody up at the booth that is your clock management guy screaming in his ear, timeout, timeout, timeout. You know, I mean, and don't let 9 seconds run off the clock before you call timeout either. You know, you have to have a plan. Okay, if they run this play, as soon as the play's over, you yell timeout. I mean, you get to the referee and say, I'm calling time as soon as the whistle blows. All right, wait, time. You don't let 9 or 10 seconds run off the clock. You know what I'm saying? You've got to know how to do clock management. And it kills me when everybody, you and me and everybody else that's watching at home, is screaming at the television, timeout, 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 and they let 15 seconds run off the clock, and then they go timeout. And you're like, what? What? All of us watching are going timeout. You know, Joe Blow is sitting at home on beer number 8 in his Lazy Boy, screaming timeout 15 seconds before you do, and this is your job. What in the world are you doing? And that's not just Raheem, by the way. That's any coach. We've seen other coaches do it, and you're like, well, what were you doing? How do you let? I saw one coach last year that were like 40 seconds went off the clock. You're like, no, okay, they're not going to call. And then he calls timeout. I'm like, wait, what? Now you decide to, you let 40 seconds run off the clock. What are you doing? You're okay. Jeez. And the funny thing is, as we all know, is that it's not that hard. It's just not. But I don't think in television, okay, in radio to some degree, because Noel knows this, but certainly in television, how you do television when you're producing a television show, a live television show, like a live news show or something like that, or a pregame show or something, everything is called back timing, okay? So the clock, it's like the clock starts at 60 minutes, right? It doesn't start at zero and go up. The clock starts at 60 and goes down, and you're back timing, okay? How much time do I have left? Okay, I have 8 minutes, therefore I have to cut this and or add that. You're back timing, all right? And just like kind of, and that's all it is. It's back timing. It's the clock is going backwards. It's going down, not up. It's just back timing, guys. And now you back time from the end of the game. All right, I need so much time to do this, this, and this. Therefore, I need this much time. How do I get to that much time if the possession for the other team ends? And I add 4 seconds for, you know, this. All right, I need a minute 57. Okay, I got the 2 minute thing. I got to call timeout right here. Okay. It's not hard, guys. It's just not. 404-726-0929 is the number here. Is the reports of Falcons fighting in camp a good thing? Are the Falcons really one player away that Micah Parsons can make that big a difference? Are you going to go for it? Do it. Are they really just one player away from winning a Super Bowl? And are you excited for the college football season, which is 20 days away? Or are you bitter and you're checking out until this gets fixed? Or are you just gone? Because a friend of mine says, who's a college, loves, say, I'm not watching this year. I went, wow, okay. I'm pumped. I can't tell you how pumped I am. 404-726-0929, John Fricke on a Sunday with you on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, when this song would come on at the club back in the day, it's a group called Ohio Players. The song's called Fire. NBA, right? Fire. This song and another song Ohio Players did called Love Roller Coaster. It was like the DJs just wanted to take a break because both songs, Noel, Love Roller Coaster is probably, I don't know, 9 minutes long. Fire's a long song, too. We're going to put Ohio Players on, and we're going to go to the bathroom. They played some long songs. They were playing three-minute radio songs. Nah, not Ohio Players. They were going to get their money's worth. 404-726-0929 is the number. If you'd like to be part of the show, I'd love to talk to you. Some interesting little things here, including you may have missed when it comes to college football. I've got, Noel, do you know who Bill Veeck is? Do you know that name?
No, enlighten me.
All right, so Bill Veeck was an owner, and he was the owner most notably at St. Louis Cardinals and then the Chicago White Sox. And Bill Veeck was sort of Savannah Banana before Savannah Banana back in the day, okay? Bill Veeck's idea was to make baseball fun. Matter of fact, there's a great, I'm trying to think, I don't remember what platform it's on. You probably have to search for it. But there's a great documentary on Bill Veeck that's on streaming now that if you're a fan, it's really good. Because it's all about Bill Veeck and what he was able to do. Of course, he's not with us anymore, but his son is still, and his son was, you know, leading it through all the, he's the guy that put Eddie Goodell was a, What's the correct term for short person these days?
That's a good question.
Do we use dwarf? I know we don't use. Anyway,
we'll
Eddie Goodell was.
Challenged.
Yeah. Okay. So he's like, you know, however tall, three and a half feet by four. You know, I'm not. He's short. He's a little people. Okay. Sorry, I don't know. Don't ask me. Anyway, so he gets Eddie, he puts him in a car. He signs him for a game, puts him in a game. And if you've never seen the whole Eddie Goodell thing, you can search that too and just see the pictures. And he sends him up to bat because, and he walks on four pitches because his strike zone is about the size of, you know, two pencils. Because he sends the short guy up to, he's not a professional baseball player. He's like an actor. And he signs him to the team and the Cardinals and puts him up to, literally in the game and puts him up to bat. That's Bill Beck. So he goes to, that's Eddie Goodell. That's the Eddie Goodell story. And then if you've never seen it, you can Google it and just look at the picture of Eddie Goodell at bat. It's wild. So the White Sox, okay? And then at the White Sox, he does all these wild promotions to try to get fans to come to Comiskey. Because in Chicago, even to this day, but certainly back in the 60s and 70s, notwithstanding the fact the White Sox actually won a World Series 20 years ago with Blackjack McDowell, In Chicago, the White Sox are poor, poor second-class citizens. They're like the Clippers are to the Lakers. The Lakers are here, and to get to the Clippers in Los Angeles, it's a huge drop, okay? And so that just it's not even in the same universe as the Lakers. You know, for every 10 Lakers fans, there's one Clippers fan. And the White Sox are that way in Chicago. The Cubs are here, and the drop to the White Sox is precipitous, and Bill Beck knew it. So to try to get some attention in the city of Chicago, because the Cubs so dominate the city, not just that they're a better team now, but the Cubs have always been, even when they were a worse team than the White Sox, they get more attention, more love. The Cubs own the town. The White Sox don't. The White Sox are that other team. And so to get attention, he would do all these wild promotions. You know, he had Disco Night, which is certainly the thrust of the whole thing was about Disco Night, where they burned thousands of disco records out in center field, and it turned into a riot because Disco Sucks Night, which was a disaster. It was, from a promotional standpoint, it was phenomenal because they filled the stadium with 50,000 people that were all going to, you know, chanting Disco Sucks, and it had nothing to do with baseball. And then they started a bonfire in center field with all the albums. It was out of control, and the fire was raging, and people were storming the field, and it was a disaster from that standpoint. But it was Bill Beck trying to just sell tickets to Disco Night with all these wild people, you know, trying to, you know, climb into the stadium. It's insane. You just have to watch it to believe that it actually did happen, which it did.
Okay, so I don't know him, but I definitely know Disco Sucks Night. So, okay, now I'm following you here.
Okay, so that's a long way around a story here. I've got a little bit of Bill Beck in me. I always wanted to be an owner, okay? And oddly, if I could have owned any team in any sport, I would have owned a hockey team. I know that doesn't sound right, but I love hockey. I actually do love hockey. And just we haven't had it here for so long. That's why I was such a huge Flames fan back in the day. And Flames are always going to be my team. No offense, people, that's fine. If you're a Thrashers fan, it's fine. Again, I like the Thrashers too, but I was a Flames fan. And so, but I always wondered certain things. I had Bill Beck in me. And so I always wondered about certain things. Like one of the things I never understood was, boy, how tempted would I be, Noel, if I were an owner of a hockey team to go out and search every, like, who's the dude? Okay, hang on here. Have you ever heard of the name Desmond Watson?
Nope.
He's rookie defensive tackle for the Bucks. He's not allowed to practice right now with Tampa Bay because he showed up to practice at 489 pounds.
Yeah, I saw him. I saw him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's lost 25. He's down from 489 to 464, but they're saying, look, you're not practicing for a while. He played at 464 at Florida. I would be inclined, if he gets cut, if I owned a hockey team, I'd sign him. And I'd put pads on him, and I'd put him in goal. And I'd say, we're going to sit here, and all you don't have to do nothing. Just sit in front of the net. Let pucks hit you. Because other teams, wait, there's no room. There's no room. We can't score. Yeah, you don't have to do anything. Just sit in front of the net. Fill the whole damn thing.
That makes sense to me, actually.
We block the whole thing in between the pipes and up to the thing. We put pads on you, you know, and we fill out the whole goal so that there's like one tiny itty-bitty little itty-bitty like slot that you could possibly score in, and just occasionally you have to raise your right shoulder if a puck comes that way. That's all you got to do. You don't have to do nothing else. Just stop it, you know, just block it. Just sit there. Don't move. Our guys will pick up the puck. So I bring this up only because there is a star college basketball player you will learn about this coming season. His name is Oliver Ryux. It's spelled R-I-O-U-X. It's a Swamper name, right? Ryux. Oliver Ryux. Oliver Ryux plays at Florida, okay? He is going to be a Florida star player, and you'll hear about his name because Oliver Ryux is 7 feet, 10 inches tall. Okay? He's 7'10". He's one of those, okay? So he's 7'10". And I always said, why don't football teams get the 7'10 dude, put pads on him, and let him block kicks? Just stand there, because he's good at he's altering shots of basketball. He'd alter shots and kicks in football. That's all he's got to do. Stand there over, you know, figure out, you know, kind of where the ball is going to launch off the kicker's foot, right? Either side of the center. And just learn to time it so that you can jump. Since you're 7'10", and stick your hand up, because that kicker's going to see that, and, you know, you're going to make a lot of guys. Well, guess what he's doing right now in fall camp for the Florida Gators? The Gators have Oliver Ryux, all 7'10 of them, with their special teams working on blocking kicks. I'm like, well, how come nobody else has figured that out? I was always the guy saying, look, you take the 7'1" guy, right, the stiff 7'1" guy that's on the end of a college basketball bench, who's a college basketball player, but he's kind of an uncoordinated dude. But all you got to do is put pads on him, put him on the 2-yard line when you're first to goal, and teach him to take 2 steps into the end zone, turn around, and jump and catch a ball. What 5'10" corner is covering 7'1"? Hey, dude, here. You know, it's a 5-yard pass. Lob it up in the air. 7'1" guy, go get it. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. It's unstoppable. It just makes perfect sense to me. And finally, somebody else gets it. It was like, thank you. After all this time, somebody else gets it. Because what's going to happen if Oliver Ryux at 7'10" is blocking extra points and field goals for the Florida Gators this year? People are going to go, hey, we need a 7'10" guy to block extra. Well, yes, you do. Is it that hard to figure out? I've been saying this for 25 years. Get a 7'10". Search the world for 7'10" dudes. You know, there's a strain in China of people, and I forget the name of the people in China. It's where Yao Ming came from, that are the tallest people in the world, okay? And Yao Ming is like, you know, he's 7'5", but he's not the only one. There's a lot of them that are like 7'5", 7'6", 7'. I don't know what it is, but it's that area of China where they have these super tall people. I'd be like going, okay, let's just go get 3 or 4 of those guys. You know, they're 19 years old. Let's put them into an American university. Let's, you know, get them into the weight room, get them strong, and teach them how to, and put 4 of them on the line and teach them how to block kicks. That's awesome. You know, maybe one of them can kick ass. You know, I never understood why you wouldn't do stuff like that. It never made any sense to me. And people do it occasionally. They'll take an athlete who has nothing to do with the sport and turn him into a guy in the sport. It's happened in football before, in using Olympic sprinters. Now, Willie Gault, who played at Tennessee and later for the Bears and was a gold medalist, it was an Olympic sprinter, but he was a football player. Bob Hayes was not. Bob Hayes is a name that Cowboys fans know because Bob Hayes was a great player for the Cowboys, great wide receiver for the Cowboys. He was an Olympic sprinter. And they said, hey, why don't you come here? He was the fastest guy in the world. So, Bob, come here. You're the fastest guy in the world. We're going to turn you into a football. And sure enough, they did. They said, all you got to do is run down the field, and Don Meredith is going to throw footballs to you. And Roger Staubach eventually is going to throw a football. Just go outrun everybody, and we're going to throw you a football. And that's what Bob Hayes did. Now, the Niners tried it with Ronaldo Nehemiah. Ronaldo Nehemiah was the fastest hurdler in the world, and an Olympic gold medalist, multiple 100-meter, 200-meter, 400-meter, he was a hurdler and the world's greatest hurdler. So the Niners signed him, even without football, to try to, and that didn't work. Because I was like, guys, he's a hurdler. He's not a sprinter. There's a difference. We're not, If you want him to hurdle players, he's going to be really good at hurdling. You could toss him the ball and he could hurdle guys. It's not a sprinter. The hurdling is different. It's 1, 2, 3 steps. 1, 2, 3 steps. That's not how football is. But yeah, Oliver Ryu at 7'10" is working with the special teams of the Gators this year on blocking field goals. This could be a game changer for the game. Yeah, this will be interesting. And then it'll be interesting to see how good he is at basketball. 404-726-0929, you know the number. We're talking and chatting about the Falcons, about the Disaster Braves, and about college football. You want to jump in? It's your show. You let me know on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.